News Talk 790 KFYO. Good morning. It's 7:09 with Tom Collins and Laura Mack. After the city council meeting last night, I was a little bit curious, Laura, because I know that you were continuously chastising me.
What? Me?
For watching Channel 2. Continuously
chastising. Don't say that in front of our guests.
Well,
that's an off-mic kind of a thing. No, I do make fun of him
because
he says he pops popcorn and sits down to watch.
Well, yeah. I'm going to give you a clue here, Geralt. Jim Geralt is Councilman District
4.
And is the newly elected Mayor Pro Tem. Now, how does the Mayor Pro Tem get elected?
The council elects the Mayor Pro Tem.
Well, what I'm actually after.
Do you guys really draw straws and you drew the short stick?
No, I think it's one of those things that's. Okay, you remember when you were a kid? You know, who's it? And everybody says, not it, not it, not
right.
It, not it, not me. And then you're the last one. Is that how it worked out or what?
You have to have a mayor pro tem. And historically, you serve 2 years and then someone else takes over. I think during a time when Jim Gilbreth was on the council, he was a mayor pro tem a couple times in a row. So I kind of passed it around, and some of them asked me, one or two of them said, would you be interested in being mayor pro tem? I said, well, if that's what the council wants, I'll do it. I didn't ask anybody for a vote, you know, but when they got on the dais last night, someone nominated me. And
so it wasn't like a pick me.
No, it was not that.
Okay.
It was not that.
Well, we appreciate you doing it.
Now, this is very interesting, Karen, Laura. Karen Gibson was the outgoing mayor pro tem,
mm-hmm.
and I found some of the comments at the end of the, you know, now you said your comment, Jim, was, well, I've got some pretty big pumps to fill.
As in high heel shoes.
Right. and I get that because Floyd Price was slaying me, man. It's like, well, Karen, it was like, now normally I'm accusing the mayor of getting inside my head. Jim, I think you got inside my head, but Karen, I want to tell you, I think you did a bodacious job. I was like, wow, really? But okay.
And now the mayor's Googling bodacious and pumps.
Right, yeah.
To figure out what was being said.
What does that mean exactly?
Anyway, so, I guess congratulations for the dubious honor of being the mayor pro tem. All right. You did yesterday while you guys were in executive session, I guess she had the anti-smoking coalition, you know, kind of out front of City Hall, kind of doing their thing and saying, hey, we're opposed to smoke in public environments. Just exactly where are we on the smoking ban? And I get what they're saying, but I also enjoy capitalism. I mean, you know, I think that it should be a thing. If you don't want to go somewhere that they allow smoking, then don't go. That's just me. But where are we realistically at on the ordinance?
Well, realistically, there is no ordinance being brought forward. I think Councilwoman Joy and Councilman Price are going to co-sponsor an ordinance that will come forward that has been somewhat drafted across the state. There are 35 cities, I think it is, that have enacted this across the state of Texas.
Do we have a current ordinance? I mean, we do. What is our current ordinance?
Our current ordinance deals more with restaurants. Mm-hmm. If you're a sports bar, if you're a bar, if you're a bingo hall, you don't have to. I mean, smoking is allowed.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you are a restaurant, if you put in a separate ventilation system, you can have smoking allowed there. You have to put up warning signs and say smoking allowed.
In certain sections?
Certain sections, yes, in certain sections of the restaurant. So there's some restrictions placed upon it. I remember when this first came up, I wasn't on the council, wasn't even thinking about running for council, when the ordinance first came up talking about banning it in restaurants. And a lot of people said, well, this is going to destroy capitalism, this is going to destroy the restaurants. But I think the reality is the food industry has benefited from this. I'm not a smoker. I can't sit in places where smoking is taking place. Interesting thing, when I went to Spain years ago, their concept of no smoking was you're on a plane, train, no smoking on the left side, smoking on the right side.
Ah, you know,
smoking in the
lot.
Back, no smoking on the front.
No. Left side of
left
the train
and right.
Is smoking. Right side is not smoking. All the way up and down the train.
Wow.
All the way up and down the plane.
I'm sorry. I was just
how
conjecturing
that
about
that.
That's what it used to be on
it
the airplane.
It used
airplanes.
To be on the airplane. Smoke in the back. Yeah.
Right.
everybody said, well, that's going to, you know, ruin the restaurants. But I think what happened was a lot of people would go, like my wife and I go to a restaurant. Well, the non-smoking section was full. The smoking section had three smokers in it, mm-hmm. and eight tables open. Well, we'll seat you if you'll sit in the smoking. No, I can't sit in the smoking. Mm-hmm. So I think they lost a lot of business because they couldn't use the whole restaurant. And when the ban was passed, all of a sudden the whole restaurant is available to be seated. And it seems to be working very well. From that. But right now they're looking at, and I understand what you said, Tom, about the capitalism and freedom to go where you, if you know smoking is there, don't go there. Well, the majority of bars have smoking, and what we're hearing on the workers, on the property rights issue, people are saying, well, they don't have to work there, they can get a job somewhere else. But what some of the employees were telling us yesterday, and then they've met with us privately to talk about it, if a college student trying to work their way through college, if they work at a restaurant, they can work 6-7 hours, maybe go home with $60. If they work 3 or 4 hours in a bar, they go home with $200. So it's a matter of if we're going to make some money and go through school and get out.
I got a great idea. How about like hooking them up with a gas mask or something?
Well, I guess that could work.
They'd be like, would that be shaken or stirred? Just jesting. But anyway, Laura, I don't know if you remember this. When the ordinance came out a long time ago, and I think this is better than a decade ago, mm-hmm. they had sports bars were not included. Well, the definition of a sports bar, well, first of all, definition of a bar is like more than 51% of your income has to come from the sale of alcohol. Mm. Then they said you had to have 5 television screens or something like that. So immediately, you know, the people that were, you know, selling TVs, the electronic stores, it was bonkers because everybody was buying TV screens so they could be a sports bar, you know, or they have a sports bar inside their bar. There's a sports bar area, you know, but I think it's one of those situations where, people, as far as, you know, opposition, pro, con, it's always going to be a chess game, and it's going to be never ending. It's going to be never ending. I mean,
yeah,
because the smokers are going to want it, the non-smokers aren't going to want it.
Right.
And I mean, it's
so
just
what's
like,
the next step in this?
Well, the next step will be if an ordinance comes forward.
Mm-hmm.
If an ordinance comes forward.
And you expect that to be happening?
I think it will. I think it's going to come next time.
Yeah.
All right. We're talking with Mayor Pro Tem, newly elected Jim Girlt. I guess we have the first interview.
You do?
Awesome.
So we're first at something. If you'd like to send us a question or a comment, you can email us at collinsandmack@gmail.com. collinsandmack@gmail.com. That's collinsandmac, no K, @gmail.com. It's 7:17, and we'll be back. What's going on in Mule Shoe, Laura?
Why?
It's 10 degrees cooler there than it is here.
Nice.
Apparently they're living right. I'll tell you what, just me is just my personal view of this whole thing. I'm already sick and tired of summer.
Are you tired of it already?
I'm
it just began.
I know, but I just, you know, I just don't like being hot and sticky,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't like writing the check for my utility bills.
Ooh, I know. That's not fun.
Speaking of utility bills.
Interesting segue.
Let me guess. LP&L.
What the LP&L is going on? I mean, really. Okay. Several different sides of this issue. Number one, I did come in last night in on the conversation watching Channel 2. I don't know, some skinny guy with not very much hair was standing there at the podium and was looking over his right shoulder back at a guy when you were asking questions like, how much of your budget comes from the top 4 positions, and I think it was $630,000+.
Something like that.
Okay, yeah. Now, the top 4 positions at LP&L, $630,000+, and those positions are, I guess, CEO.
Assistant director, chief financial officer, and city their attorney.
Yeah, okay. So I know Mayor had made mention of the possibility of just dissolving those 4 positions because we had gone without one for so long. And, you know, in the CEO position, we had a guy in place there, and it was just like, I don't know why you had 192 days of vacation and sick days because, I mean, he's like, to me, I don't think he was doing a whole lot while he was there. That's just my own personal opinion. But
he was there. He showed up for work.
Yeah, he was there. You know, I don't. He might have had a dartboard on the back of the door. Who knows? But anyway, are we still considering this? I mean, is this a viable thing? Or I mean, I heard the question posed.
You mean a rate increase?
No. I'm talking about those top four positions.
Oh, okay.
You know, cutting them.
Oh, I don't think that's a realistic I don't think that's a realistic option. I know the mayor was pushing that. Realistic, we've got to have a CEO. And going forward, we really need someone who's doing the management side of it, and then we need someone who's doing the technical side of it. And it's a rare individual, I think, who can do both sides very, very well. Dr. Zing was a tremendous engineer. I mean, the guy, I think he's a genius. Mm-hmm. When you get a doctor of electrical engineering in a second language, you got to be pretty sharp to do that.
Now, who's this guy?
The Zing. CEO who just got terminated.
Oh, okay, Zing. Okay.
Yeah, it's Dr. Zing. He's mm-hmm. got that doctorate of electrical engineering. So he's a sharp guy. But being a good engineer doesn't always mean you're a good manager.
Exactly.
And yeah. Being a good manager doesn't mean you're probably going to be an engineer. So I think there's two different sides of the company that needs to be taken care of. Andy Burcham, who you're talking about, the chief financial officer, used to be at the city, did a tremendous job at the city of Lubbock. And then I won't speak why Andy left. I'm not sure why. I've got an idea why he left. He went to Tech for a while, and now he's over.
I got an idea.
Now he's at LPNL. And I think Andy brings a tremendous amount to the table. He has changed the way they're doing their budgeting, doing some of their reporting. He's getting some of their finances, I think, straightened up the way they need to be. He's able to give us information that we had not been able to get before. So I'm a big fan of Andy. I think he's doing a very, very good job. And he was the guy that I was asking the questions of.
Oh, okay.
And when those guys get up there in front of us, well, just like me now in front of you, you can have studied something. And I don't have a clue what you've studied.
Don't worry about it. Don't stress. I can't read, man.
Well, but honestly, you can bring up something maybe I have been briefed on recently, so you can catch me off guard. And asking him some of those questions last night in front of the dais on Channel 2 and everything else. I mean, Andy's a sharp guy, no question about it, but he needs a little bit of extra help to know, okay, well, how much actually is that when you're trying to do that?
I get it. Yeah, I mean, you can't have everything on the hard drive. But
right.
This is one thing that the rate increase – and I guess that's just kind of connected by the dots or connecting the dots of the rate increase and pay raises across the board, the 2.9%.
Which I don't think is going to happen.
Okay. Well, this conversation at this point relative to that issue is probably far from over. We'll get back with Jim Girl here in just a couple of minutes, newly elected mayor pro tem. Thanks for being here, stepping in for the mayor.
My pleasure.
On short notice. Actually, Laura, we're first at something.
How about that?
You know, we got the first interview. Maybe our last, but we got the first. Hey, right now, 728. Good morning. KFYO News Talk 790, 737, Collins and Mack. It's Friday, and welcome to the weekend special at Catalina's Authentic Mexican Restaurant, 34th P. Uh-huh. Meatloaf, taters, and gravy. Veggie of the day, roll, soft drink, and dessert, 850 plus tax. You know where I'm going to be? Catalina's, 34th
That's
Street,
right.
Mr. Girls, have you ever eaten at Catalina's?
Can't say that I have.
You are one deprived child, sir.
Probably so.
You ought to go check it out. It's fantastic. And, it's, you know, it's so close. It's just like a short from City Hall.
Mm-hmm.
They're open from 8 until 2, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 8, Friday, Saturday. Good stuff. All right, we're talking with Jim Girl. He's Councilman District 4, newly elected mayor pro tem. You hadn't even been there 24 hours. Were you sitting there when you got elected? Were you like going, really, what am I in for? Did you have a thought like that?
Well, I've watched Karen do her job, and she's done it very well. And I know a little bit of what's involved. Of course,
yeah, but I'm sure I've seen her look on her face before. Oh, I've seen that wild look in her eye. She's like, really? I volunteered for this?
You know, it's a lot like the council role. When you're on the outside looking in, you go, anybody can do that. Just like getting married. When you're not married, you're on the outside looking in and go, you can do that. Anybody can do it. And then you get in. What? You don't agree with me? How's that possible? Just like on the council, you look outside, you look and say it's one thing. Then you get inside and you run into all these government entanglements that you have to deal with. And some of the things that I campaigned against, I'm going in there. holy tar, how in the world do you change this? Because you got all these federal regulations, all these state regulations and mandates that come into play. And then the state legislature mandated that we can't talk to one another behind closed doors and make a decision. We can't even, I can't even talk to two of my colleagues about something because that's three of us. If one of them talks to somebody else, we violated the state law on the daisy chain effect. So we do our discussion, sometimes fighting out on the dais, but that's the way we get things done. State legislature, they make all their deals behind closed doors, you know, so it's a little frustrating trying to get things done in this environment. But you know what? We're getting some things done. We're learning to work together.
Good.
All right. We were talking about the rate increase, that I guess could be, what we were looking at or anticipating talking about, as much as almost 6%.
On the base.
On the base, yeah.
On the base.
And, then also the 2.9% raises across the board. Obviously, I think those two things are connected by a magnetic force that is always kind of a push me, pull you. And, you know, yesterday there was a statement published by James Loomis that he was urging in his preliminary budget. I don't think so at this time. Realistically, from your perspective, if not this time, should we, shouldn't we, and when is it going to be?
Let me do a little historical perspective here. Number one, I don't think the 2.9% across-the-board pay increase is going to happen. And I've had some of the board members tell me since last night, say, we want to go back and revisit that too. And some of them said, you know what, I don't agree with that either. I want to put some money in for performance, pay people who are performing well, but not just across the board. But one of the other things taking place, the rate increase that happened last summer was just the perfect storm. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. Background on that, I can't remember if it was 3 rate increases over 4 years or 4 rate increases over 3 years that XL gave to LPNL, and previous city councils and mine too on one vote did not vote to pass those rate increases on to the customers. So all of a sudden you've got LPNL eating all of those rate increases and the reserves going down, 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 starting to affect our bond rating. Moody's investors was giving us a negative outlook going forward, which is, it was a warning sign shot across the bow. If you don't do something, you're going to drop on your bond rating. That has a major impact upon a city that bonds quite a bit of money. We'd passed that rate increase last year, thought it was only going to be 9.7%, and then the natural gas spike hit, and that wasn't communicated clearly that the pass-through will come to the customers. Now, here's the interesting fact. At the end of the year, we've gone back and looked, even with our rate increase last summer, and as hard as it hit everybody, at the end of the year, for customers who used 1,000 kilowatts of electricity per month in Lubbock compared to Amarillo, we still paid about $64, I think, less for the year for our electricity than did the XL customers in Amarillo.
Well, and they should pay more because they're from Amarillo.
I wouldn't disagree with that, but that's the reality. But nobody understands that, and everybody said, we just got rooked last year. They're charging us too much. If you will take your electric bill and just look at the electric portion of your bill, take out the water, take out the storm water, all those other fees, mm-hmm. just what you pay for electricity, divide that by the number of kilowatt hours that you've used, then go online and compare what people across the state are paying, and we still have some of the lowest electricity in the state. Plus, we now have that rate stabilization mechanism in place. Unless natural gas just doubles, triples, and quadruples in the next few weeks, the rates are going to remain pretty stable on what the people are paying. It'll be just based on their consumption, whether the bill goes up or down. So we've learned some lessons from last year. Jay Stowe and Company, who brought the rate model to us, said, you've not had a rate increase in a long time. Our recommendation is that the rate increases should be frequent, minor increases, and uneventful. And if we don't do the rate increase now, which is just on the base, not on the total bill, just on the base, then we're going to start seeing LPNL. The reality is they got to pay the workers. They've got to pay people to come to work. And with the boom in Midland on the oil boom, they're pulling a lot of our workers down there. So we've got to be competitive so we can keep people in place. It costs more to train a new worker than it does to give an existing worker a minor pay raise.
Jim Girl, Mayor Pro Tem, talking about the rate increase and pay raises. It's 7:42. We'll be back. KFYO 748, Tom Collins, Laura Mack, visiting with Jim Girlt. Where in the world is Mayor Glenn Robertson? Who knows? He ain't here. That's all we know. So got a call last night from Celia, I guess she's an administrative assistant. It's one of those, she's in some sort of thankless job there. I don't even know her title. Does that tell you anything?
Where?
Down at City Hall.
Oh.
So anyway, she says, hey, Mayor's gonna have to bail in the morning. He's got to get out, mm-hmm. Do something early. And I'm like, okay. So, we got Jim Girlt. And so welcome to the program.
Thank you.
All right. We'd had conversations earlier about this, and I know a lot of people are really nervous about this Omni building thing. Now I know we had the Free Our Street people showing up and everything, and I'm cool with that. But I think there's a lot of apprehension with the Omni building because we're moving forward and putting the contract on that, because a lot of people are just, what? We shouldn't. Well, the whole thing is you can't get inside and bring engineers in unless you have a contract on the building.
That's absolutely right.
You got to be able to inspect the building to figure out just exactly what the condition is. Now, should the condition not be is, well, let me rephrase that. Should it not have to require, a full electrical retrofit, plumbing retrofit, asbestos abatement, blah, 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 blah? Is it a realistic option for the city to really buy this building? And if we do, are we going to sit there and try and get it for a song because this guy owes us like a gazillion dollars in penalties and interest and ordinance violations and code violations and everything else?
The contract we have with him, I think, is for with the organization who owns it. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. It's like $1.235 million, which I think on the appraisal district, it's showing it at $4 million on the appraisal. So if we get it if we end up purchasing it, it's a bargain. I mean, my whole thing is I wanted to buy it for $500,000, but that's not going to happen, There's some credit.
Well, never know. We could always make the offer.
Well, we did.
Oh, okay.
It was promptly rejected.
Mm-hmm. We've had a very difficult person to deal with on that. When you ignore the code violations, when the tickets mount up, $275,000 worth of citations against the individual, and just kind of ignore it and doesn't live here, and the group dispersed. I don't want to get into all that kind of stuff, but it's just been a nightmare. We have been so frustrated. I think every month that I've been on the council, almost every meeting I've been on the council, we've talked about what can we possibly do about that thing. The people wanting to do downtown redevelopment say this is the biggest obstacle that we've got on developing downtown. They bring in some of these large corporations who are considering Lubbock. They drive around to see that and go, that's your downtown?
Right.
So it's a major obstacle. If the building is structurally sound, I think we can use it for a police station. That's one of the things we're possibly looking at. If it's not structurally sound, then it needs to come down. And if we take him to court, and we win in court, then he's going to bail on it. It's going to be our pain regardless of what we do. Mm. So we're trying to get on top of it and get it done now rather than wait another. Because he could tie us up in court for another 2, 3, 4 years.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we got a public safety issue on our hands.
Just relatively speaking, when you sit there and you kind of tag that with the possibility of moving the police station there, doesn't the police station, if we were going to do something with the new station or facility for the police, wouldn't it make more sense to just like have it on an all-inclusive where you would have, the offices, fleet, maintenance, and everything just kind of all together?
And that's what we're trying to do.
Is that building big enough? Is the area, is the land mass geographically in acreage, is it big enough to handle that?
Well, now you're getting into stuff I don't want to talk about yet on air. Every time we started looking at a location to put a new police station, the thing we've had to be careful about, because anytime the word gets out, the city's interested in a particular piece of property, and we probably need to buy more than one piece of property, all of a sudden other folks go in and they buy it quickly, and then they're unrealistic to deal with. When you look at the Overton project, some of the early purchases were reasonable. When you got a little bit later on in there, they wanted the sun, the moon, and half of the galaxy to be able to buy a piece of property. So that's part of what we run into also, is being very discreet. Public says, well, you want to know what you're doing. Well, no, you really don't, because it's going to cost you an arm and a leg if we talk about what we're doing on the air and everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah, you are if you do and you are if you don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. Hey, we're talking with Jim Gerlt, District 4 City Councilman, newly elected Mayor Pro Tem 753. Good morning at 757 with Tom, Laura, and Councilman Jim Gerlt, District 4 City Councilman, and elected Mayor Pro Tem. So, like, how many people's names that were in the hat last night? Just curious.
Well, I was nominated, and then Victor Hernandez was nominated.
Okay. Good for you, Jim. Good for you.
The mayor, I was nominated first, then Victor. So the mayor said, well, we'll take them on voting in the order in which they were nominated, and whoever gets four or more is the Mayor Pro Tem. And my name was first. I got five votes, so that was it.
There you go.
Okay, so you weren't voting. There were seven council.
No, actually, I did.
No. Okay, so you got five votes. There were seven council people. So who doesn't vote if there were seven?
Well, Victor's name wasn't called. So he would have probably voted for himself. And then the nominator, Latrell Joy, would have voted for him, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. All right. So now we know who didn't vote for you.
So what is your next job as Mayor Pro Tem? What have you got coming up?
I haven't been told yet.
Ah,
I don't know.
Okay.
Jobs as assigned.
All right. Yeah. Now, here's, you know, we're running out of time here, and we, you know, I didn't want to get into a deep conversation because we just had a minute or so. But, you know, I would like, since we were the first interview, you know, I would like one of those whereas, because, therefore, we did the first media interview with Mayor Pro Tem.
You think we should have our own proclamation?
Yeah, I think that we should get some sort of proclamation or, you know, special recognition or something like that.
I'll put it in the hopper. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you make two copies so we can have one for her office and one for mine.
Okay.
Yeah, we can frame those. Hey, Jim, good job, I guess, on the interview. First rattle out of the box. Appreciate you showing up for the mayor and stepping in.
I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
You know, it's the first time. Hopefully won't be the last. Probably won't be, because, you know, Glenn, I mean, he can't do everything. He thinks he can, but he can't.
Including survive a heart attack and get back to work in 2 days.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I wasn't believing that. 7:59 coming up. We're going to be talking Casas from Casa.